thinking this morning about some ordinary people, but an extraordinary God. And it's nice to have a story. It's good getting to grips with Paul, but I like a good story. And because we need to anchor all the theology and what have you, we need to anchor it in real people's experience. And I think we need to remember that the Christmas story is about real people. Real people, actually quite ordinary people. Let's have a look at a priest. That's Zechariah, of course. A young girl. A jobbing builder. Some shepherds. And even some astrologers. Real people. And sometimes I fear there's a danger that we see the Christmas story as a totally otherworldly story because of the angels and the moving stars and all that sort of stuff. And of course it is a unique and supernatural happening. But I think there are very down-to-earth lessons for us as well. So, let's have a look at Zechariah. Okay, Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was getting on a bit, like some of us around here, I guess. But he was still working. Now, he was a priest. Now, you didn't choose to be priests. You were born as a priest. You were descended from Aaron. And that, of course, was a huge privilege, actually, in its way. Now, there's lots of scholarly debate about how the priesthood worked in the time of Jesus. But the reckoning is there were probably about 20,000 priests in Israel, all the descendants of Aaron. And you couldn't get 20,000 priests in the temple at once, and obviously their main ministry was in the temple. So they arranged it that everybody did two week-long shifts a year in the temple. And the rest of the year, you spent at home in your village, probably living just as anybody else in your village did. You're an ordinary person, in other words. But when you were on your week of temple duty, every day two of you were chosen by lot, so chance if you like, you were chosen by lot to offer incense before the morning and evening sacrifices. Just two people. And that, of course, was a huge privilege. That was the high point of any priest's life, to be chosen to do that. So every week, 14 people out of the 800 on duty had that privilege. And, of course, the chances are pretty slim, and some people never ever got it in their lives. But Zechariah gets it. Great. The thing he's waited all his life for, this huge privilege. Of course, actually, he's been waiting all his life for something else. And that's a child. So here he is, this ordinary man, finding himself doing the role he's dreamed of all his life. And now finds that he's promised the fulfillment of his other dream. No wonder it gets a bit much for him. I feel quite sorry for him, actually. I feel he got a harder deal than Mary did when she was given even more incredible news. Anyway, he can't speak. And that, of course, means that he can't actually fulfill his privileged task. Because the end of it was to go out and to pronounce God's blessing on the people. That great Aaronic blessing, the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. Must have been a huge disappointment for him, a huge challenge for him. But he goes home and he hangs on in there, and the miracle happens. His doubt can't stop the conception. Elizabeth is pregnant, and he watches his wife grow. Oh, of course, I've not been clicking through, have I? And then, of course, he witnesses the visit of Elizabeth's young cousin, Mary. And she has a yet more incredible story, but somehow a robust confidence that God will overturn human order through her son. Remember those words of the Magnificat. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. So when Zechariah's son is born, he confidently contradicts the relatives who want to use the family name and asserts that he shall be called John. Yahweh is gracious, and pronounces his own very robust prophecy regarding the role of his son in preparing the way for the Messiah. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he's come to his people and redeemed them. So Zechariah was an ordinary man called into an important role. But why him? Childlessness was taken as a sign of God's disfavour. And indeed, Elizabeth had probably been the butt of public insult because she was unable to have children. Life for them was tough. They hadn't had the dream they wanted. But they hung in there with God. Luke says that they were upright in the sight of God. They observed all the Lord's commandments blamelessly. In other words, they hung in with God in spite of all the disappointment and all the public abuse. Let's think of those other people in the story. Remember Mary, the innocent teenager? Joseph, the jobbing builder, the shepherds, who were widely regarded as outcasts, and astrologers. They weren't even Jews, and their religious practices were a bit dodgy, I guess. So none of them would actually found a place in respectable society. But they followed God in the way they knew, as best they could. And they're very different. And God used them in different ways in that jigsaw as he brought his son into the world. And the thing that they have in common, I think, is this: that they knew God could work in the world, but were surprised that he should use them. They knew God could work in the world, but were surprised that he should use them. And the thing is, of course, that the script for this play, was written by God. And God has a bigger plan than ours and loves to surprise us. Here it is, that wonderful passage from Isaiah: "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." And the person who keeps getting mentioned here as the key in the story is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Luke loves to see the Spirit at work as he writes his gospel. So here we are. Here's the angel telling Zechariah about John. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. The angel spoke to Mary: "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." Luke says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit when she met Mary. He says Zechariah at the birth of his son was filled with the Holy Spirit. And later on in the story, old Simeon, coming in the temple, was moved by the Holy Spirit. So it's God, the sovereign Lord, who works according to his plan, but he uses these very ordinary people who are obedient to him in the everyday. And he uses them to bring about things beyond what they could possibly have expected. So I wonder where we fit into this. We may think, oh, well, this is a completely different story. And it's true. But if we only emphasize the uniqueness of it, I think we're in danger of making it into a magical fairy story. That's how a lot of people see Christmas, a sort of magical fairy story, divorced from the real world. But the whole point is that the Holy Spirit took ordinary people of obedience and transformed their experience. And he's still at work. He's still at work. Remember this opening song, leaving your spirit until the work on earth is done. And it's not done yet. And so God's, the Holy Spirit, still needs people to work with. Ordinary people like you and me. Ordinary people who are prepared to stick in with God as life is, even when it's hard. We don't have to be specially holy people. In fact, Scripture seems to indicate the opposite, that God prefers the ordinary. A little quote from Paul in 1 Corinthians. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. You chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things to nullify the things that are. God uses ordinary people. And if we hang in with God, then he might surprise us by giving us his special bit in the jigsaw. Let's have a few quick ordinary examples from history. Now, these are famous people we know of, but they were ordinary people who God used. This lady is, or was, probably stuck here actually. Anyone know? No. Gladys Aylward. You know the name, but not the picture probably, because it's not what's the name of the film. But Gladys Aylward was rejected by the Missionary Society. Not clever enough, not educated enough to go to China. How odd. This is John Wesley. Now, John Wesley went off as a missionary to America, to Georgia, and was a complete failure. Came back totally disillusioned with the whole thing. And God used him afterwards. An ordinary person got things wrong. You know this lady. Remember, she was a teacher most of her life. She was a teacher. It was only when she was 40 or thereabouts that she began the work to which we remember her. Most of that her life, she was a teacher. And here's an interesting one. Anybody know what he did when he left school? He was a nightclub bouncer. No one too ordinary for God to use in different ways. But even these people are a bit out of our league, perhaps. But who knows? Remember, Zechariah was old when God used him, so none of us actually passed it. But it's one or two little local things. Perhaps you might think a bit more down to earth, but it's important, I think, that we are down to earth. Probably means nothing to you at all. Didn't tell me until I had a look. I read something this week. This is a little community, or a little group of Christian young arts enthusiasts in Poole. And apparently, because I didn't know about this, they've got involved with St. Aldham's Academy in Poole, which apparently is one of the worst schools in the country, and had a zero pass rate in BTEC Performing Arts. Zero pass rate. And these young people, young Christians, got involved, and apparently in 2 years the pass rate is now 96%. Ordinary people got stuck in, God used them. and just in our own community. Community care, there are more than 100 people involved in that, Christians in Swanage, who just week in, week out, do ordinary things to bless the people in the community. There's impact, 3 or 4 people out on the streets on Friday nights, and God is blessing them to young people through them. That's just 3 examples. All of us could probably give some other examples, and lots of others that I could have picked out, obviously. I wonder what else God might do if we're faithful. Remember, about a month ago, I put out a request for people to teach cooking at the children's centre. Okay, I got 8 responses. Ordinary people prepared to try something. They're starting in January. Please pray. How may God work, the Holy Spirit work through them as ordinary people, not being rude to you, but prepared to get stuck in as God leads you. I'm sorry, I haven't done the pictures. Let's go back to Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was part of the regular daily pattern of prayer in the temple. He wasn't there every day. He was only there 2 weeks in the year. But he was part of a bigger pattern of prayer, offered on behalf of the people twice a day by people in rotation. And some of us would love to see something similar to that in Swanage. Okay, every weekday morning at 8:15 in the quiet room, there is prayer. At 8 o'clock in St. Mary's every day in the chapel there is prayer. But I think it would be great if there was more, and even greater if it was ecumenical. So some of us have been exploring the idea of a community of prayer. And we did hope that we might have done a pilot in January, but that's got postponed at the moment. But there's a question here. How might God be calling us to be involved in that regular pattern of prayer that God, through his Spirit, might then do something different? I don't know. So let's thank God for the ordinary people. Thank you for the ordinary people that he used the incarnation, for the incredible working of his Spirit in them and through them, for Zechariah and Mary and the angel, the shepherds, Joseph, the wise people. Okay? They were available and they were watching, and he wants us to be the same, ordinary people, available and watching. And the incredible thing is that he can use us in extraordinary ways. So let us pray that we may be faithful so he can use us. And when he does, we say yes.